Good evening, if you will be making your way to Matthew, the 23rd chapter, Matthew chapter 23. I want to read part of that chapter this evening to get into our discussion. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about the concept of Pharisees and what Pharisees are. We hear a lot about what a Pharisee is, people calling other people Pharisees and trying to say someone's a Pharisee because they don't like what they're saying about this or about that matter of Scripture. And so I think it's important that we understand really what a Pharisee is, so we can not only understand who they were and what Jesus criticized them for, but really more importantly, so we can make sure that we aren't doing the same things they did. So we can look at these stories, look at what's happening here in Scripture, look at their encounters with Jesus, and see whether or not we are failing in some of the same ways the Pharisees are, because really that's ultimately what matters. People don't like it so much, and I think you would agree with this, they get uncomfortable when we focus all of our attention on what other people are doing. You know, we talk all about what some other church is doing down the street or some other group of people, and we want to be real critical of other people. And the complaint is, well, we need to be focusing on what we are doing. And I think that's often true. That is what we really need to be doing. But what's amazing to me about that is when you get into personal discussions and when you talk about Scripture, very quickly this phrase Pharisee starts getting thrown around. And that's exactly the same thing on a personal level as people very often don't like in a very public sort of way, talking about a congregation or talking about groups of people or different fellowships of faith, as they're sometimes called. And so I'd like to just point that out at the very beginning. When people start throwing around terms, they're in essence doing the same thing that these same people very often criticize other times. When people are trying to point to Scripture and look for answers. And so I want to look at what a Pharisee really is so we understand this concept, because I think it's very misperceived in society very often. Number one, people don't really understand what the Pharisees were doing wrong. And I know that because what I hear people say about Phariseeism is just wrong. It's not correct. And what they try to apply it to is also incorrect. And so what we need to do is see what they're actually doing wrong and what Jesus criticizes them for. And so we need to see, what is it that Jesus is actually criticizing them for? In this most scathing rebuke that you find in Matthew 23, one of his harshest rebukes of the Pharisees, of the scribes, of the rulers, and he doesn't just go right into this. This is pretty far into the story, as you can tell. It's in Matthew 23. It's not in Matthew 3. And there's a lot that comes before this. And in fact, if you were to turn back a few pages and go back, for instance, to the parable we read a few minutes ago in chapter 20 and begin to work your way forward, there's a lot of content there. He tells them parables. For instance, the parable of the two sons. He says, one of the other son, he said the same, and he answered, "I go, sir," but did not go. He tells his two sons to go work. One says, "I'm not going to go," and then he changes his mind and he goes. The other one says, "I go, sir," but then he doesn't go. And then listen to his conclusion. He's speaking here to the multitudes. He's speaking to these leaders, these rulers as well. "Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." That last phrase is powerful. It's that you didn't believe it in the beginning, but then after you saw the power, after you saw what's happening, you still wouldn't accept it. You still wouldn't believe in your stubbornness and your hardness of heart. You still wouldn't accept it. And so the point is, the kingdom is going to be given to these people that you deride, these people that you look down upon, rulers, Pharisees. That's to whom the kingdom's going to be given, and you are going to be rejected. That's not the only parable that he talks in this way about them. The very next one, the parable of the tenants, is the same idea. He sends prophets. He sends people to them, messengers. They flog them, it says. They kill some of them. They won't listen to what they have to say. And in the parable, they even kill the son. And so he says, what is he going to do to these people? He's going to take them out, and he's going to put somebody new in there. And it's going to be the tax collectors. It's going to be the publicans, the sinners, the prostitutes. And even in the midst of all of this, they still don't get Jesus' point, and they won't receive it. Because what we find in chapter 22, along with some of Jesus' other parables, are them trying to trap Jesus in his words. that they've heard the teachings of Jesus. They've heard the warnings. They've heard these parables that are meant to turn their hearts, to finally get them to perceive that the kingdom is here, that they need to receive Jesus. And yet what they do is they come back and they begin to question him again. Well, what do we do with this coin, Jesus? Trying to trip him up. Well, whose wife is this woman going to be in the resurrection, Jesus? Again, trying to test him. You see, they're stubborn. They're hard-hearted. They won't listen and they won't learn. And by the end of chapter 22, it says they won't test him anymore because he's embarrassed them in front of all the people. He has made them look foolish. And so now they just want to kill him. And he turns to the multitudes as he's had enough of all of this over the course of his ministry. And he says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feast and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi. For you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I want you just to imagine this scene for a moment. He's been interacting with these rulers, with the Pharisees, with the scribes, with this lawyer at the end of 22 who asks him what the greatest commandment is. And he says, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength. And you need to love your neighbor as yourself. The very thing they failed at was loving their neighbor. And that's often what we find in their encounters with Jesus, is that he's showing how they didn't love their fellow man. But I want you to see this situation and see the crowds around Jesus as he's teaching them. And they're listening to Jesus speak to the rulers. And we know in other places that they're amazed. They're astonished. They like Jesus. Because Jesus puts the rulers in their place. These people are stubborn. They're self-indulgent. They're greedy. They don't care about the people. They look down at the people. In fact, they won't even go into the people's homes. They're above them. They won't go into a Jewish peasant's home. He's not pure enough for them. And so as Jesus has encountered these people and he has been dealing with them, he then turns to them as he is in this crowd and he gives this rebuke. Did you hear how intense that situation must have been? I just can't imagine being there and watching Jesus do this. He calls them hypocrites a number of times. He calls them blind guides, blind Pharisees, blind men. Jesus was a gentle person. And we see that in a lot of places in Scripture. But when it was time to make a point, he knew how to make a point. And he wanted the crowds to see the Pharisees for what they really were. And so he tells them that this is what they're like. These are the kind of people they are. These are who your leaders are. And so you listen to what they say and you do what they do because they're in a position of power. They're in a position of authority. And they're the ones who are giving the law of Moses. And so you listen to them, but you don't act anything like them because they're a bunch of hypocrites and they're a bunch of fools, is what he calls them. And we need to think about this from our perspective as well, as I pointed out a few minutes ago. I want us to understand what Jesus has a problem with, but I also want us to see this in light of who we are and changes that we might need to make in our lives. And when I say that, I'm saying to myself and that you introspectively look at yourself as well. And not all of these are going to fit you or me necessarily, but there might be some things here that we have to work on. And when we're really asking this question, am I a Pharisee? And I'm not asking, are you a Pharisee? That's not what I want to do. I need to ask, am I a Pharisee? We can look at what Jesus says here in Matthew 23 and see if anything it sticks when we throw it. This is not the sort of thing that we really like to do a whole lot of. But it's what it means to be a disciple. It's what it means to be someone who is introspective, as someone who wants to better themselves, that we're going to examine our life. We're trying to be more like Jesus, and so we're willing to see our own faults. We're willing to see our own weaknesses. And so it might be through looking at the personality, at the character of these people, that we can see changes that we need to make. So what is the problem the Pharisees have? Pharisees, I think very easily, this is observable in the first line, and they are the kind of people who speak a lot. They like to teach. They like to say all kinds of things. They like to tell other people what to do, but then they don't act themselves. Jesus bears this out in a few different ways. He gives the line that we're so familiar with. They preach, but they don't practice. And you're familiar with that line, so you better practice what you preach, right? We tell that to people all the time. You're going to tell other people what to do. Well, you better be doing that as well. And this is a Pharisaical problem. They're trying to tell others what they should be doing, and yet they're not willing to do it themselves. In fact, it really goes beyond all this. They're binding heavy burdens on people, things that are hard to bear, but they won't even lift a finger. Well, there's something we need to understand about some of this. This is not just about the law of Moses. There's a lot more to it than that. In fact, in places like Matthew 15, Jesus is critical of them because they teach as doctrine the commandments of men. That's the issue. It's not that they're turning to the law and saying, well, here's what the law says, and you need to keep the law because that's what God says. No, they're taking their own laws, they're taking their own rules, their own oral traditions passed down from their fathers, and they're enforcing these on people, and these are heavy burdens to bear. They're things that our fathers couldn't keep. We're told in Acts 15 in that council. They couldn't even keep these things, and now you're trying to bind them on other people. You're trying to bind them on new Christians, telling them they have to be like Jews first. And so Paul and Peter have a big problem with that. That's what the Pharisees are attempting to do. They're taking all of their own laws, not the law of God. They're trying to bind these on people. And yet they're not even willing to bear this same burden, and they can't do so to the extent that they're asking others to do. The other thing that the Pharisees did that was so despicable in the eyes of Jesus is that their religion was all about being noticed. And all about being seen. So I want to join these two things together here as we're talking about. There's going to be five of these. Five things the Pharisees did that Jesus criticizes here. And there's more of them, but I just broke them down into an easily discernible group of problems that they have here in Matthew 23. Just five things that the Pharisees are doing wrong that Jesus points out. The first of those is that they're preaching, they're teaching, but they're not practicing. They're not practicing their faith. The second is that they're just doing things to be seen by people. What they are doing are these big, noticeable things. There are various laws. There's all kinds of laws in the law of Moses that are to be kept, but what they're really interested in keeping are the things that everybody can see them do. So Jesus talks about this, doesn't he, in Matthew 6. They're going and they're going to give to the treasury, but they're going to blow all the trumpets, and they want everybody to see how great they are and how much money they're going to give. Or they're going to offer long, wordy prayers in the synagogues or on the street corners because they want everybody to see how holy and righteous they are. And when they fast, they're going to disfigure their faces and they're going to mope around town so everybody knows how righteous I am as a Pharisee, and I'm so pure and holy that I'm going to fast like that publican twice, like the Pharisee, twice a week even. There are people who are very concerned with holiness, with their purity before God. And they went to great extents to try to remain pure. And so in some senses, they had good motives, but they ended up taking this way too far to the extent they neglect the second law that Jesus throws in there, love your neighbor as yourself. We also need to understand that a lot of what Jesus is interacting here with are the upper people, the rulers, and not just the common man. There are lots of Pharisees, thousands of Pharisees in Jerusalem. And he's dealing with the people at the top. And so we need to understand that as Scripture is dealing with these people, that this is not something that everyone is struggling with necessarily, but some of these things are giving us an idea of what the rulers are like. And I think that's the idea here with Jesus, when he's talking about these rulers, the ones in power. They're demanding things of people that they won't do them, but they're going to do the noticeable things in public. And they like to have the best seats, and they like to be called rabbi, and they want everybody to know they're a teacher, that they're some respectable figure in society. And the reality is we can have the same kind of dangers today. We can teach people all about the Bible, but then turn around and not really live it ourselves. Oh, we can seem really holy and righteous when we come together a few times a week, but then turn around and go back into our life and do whatever we want. That is a possibility. Hopefully that's not what we're doing, but that's a very real problem that people have. It's a problem these Pharisees had. They could get all dressed up for worship at the temple, but then when they go to their lives, they're self-indulgent, they're greedy. And so Jesus says, this is empty. This is worthless. You're like that fig tree that I go to and I think there's going to be fruit on it. And when I turn that leaf over, there's nothing there. So the Pharisees, they practice their righteousness before men to be seen by others, he says in verse 5. But they go even further than that. His next criticism of them is that they stand in opposition to the kingdom. Not only do they not enter themselves, but what they ultimately do is they place obstacles before others. That's what happens when they demand all of these difficult things that people can't keep, when they enforce their own rules and own laws on people instead of what God actually wants. It's what happens when they deride other people and look down upon them. They're the religious leaders. You can see how this works. You know how this happens, right? And where people say, I don't want to go there. There's just a bunch of hypocrites there. That's the reason. It's these kinds of people. It's the Pharisees. It's the scribes. It's the lawyers, the Sadducees who look down at other people because they think they're so righteous and holy. And so the common man looks at them and says, if that's what religion is, I don't want anything of it. They go everywhere they can trying to convince people to follow them. And he says, when you do that, you make them twice the son of hell. You are not the answer. There is one person to listen to, and that is the Christ, he says in verse 10. And yet you're telling people not to listen to the Christ. There can be great danger in trying to get people to follow after me and the ideas and the thoughts that I have. But I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. There are people out there who like to have a following. They want to have people going after them, and that's so important to them that they're even willing to change the message to make that happen. There's plenty of that. Make it a little bit easier. alter a few things here or there. Make it about who they are, not about what the will of God is. And strangely enough, this is almost exactly the opposite of what is often accused as being Pharisaism. The idea that someone thinks you ought to keep the will of God and look to Scripture and only do things that are in the Bible, and so you've been accused, I'm sure, of being a Pharisee because that's the idea you have. When in reality, it's people going against the will of God, people teaching doctrines of men as commandments, they're the ones who are acting like Pharisees, not people who are adhering to the law. And that's where he goes next with this. He says, in fact, you are neglecting the law. You're doing these big things, the things that everybody notices, but in reality, you're neglecting the weightier matters of the law in verse 23, he tells them. You give all the tithes, you do all the things that people can see you doing, and you say the big prayers, and you do everything, you wear the robes and the phylacteries, and so everybody can see how holy and righteous you are, but when it comes down to it, you really don't keep the law. All the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness, the things that really count, you don't have those. And so in places like Matthew 23, 23, or Mark 7 and Matthew 15, the message that Jesus is giving them is that, no, you are not keeping the law. This is the exact opposite of what I hear people say about Phariseeism. The most often critique I hear, and when people throw out the term Pharisee, is that someone's trying to say you need to do what God says in the Bible and says, well, that's just being a Pharisee. No, it's not. That's not being a Pharisee, not even close. Never once are the Pharisees criticized for trying to keep God's law too much. If you can find that, show it to me. Because I've never found it. What they're criticized for is not keeping God's law. What they're criticized for is taking their own traditions and putting them above the will of God and usurping and undermining the law of God. That's what they're criticized for. What they're criticized for are doing the small things of the law because everybody else sees them, but the things that really matter in the law they don't do because they're not to their own benefit. Because the real issue is they're greedy and they're self-indulgent and they're lawless. That's what Jesus says. Not only do we not find them ever being criticized for trying to be too close to the law and keeping it too closely, he in fact says they are lawless. They don't keep the law. That's from the mouth of Jesus himself. He says, you are not law keepers. You are lawless people. And you are greedy and you are self-indulgent and you're only focused on what you want. That's what it means to be a Pharisee. Now, I think we've gotten the caricature of what a Pharisee is to some extent here this evening. And I want to make sure we get that, because it's very important. We understand that they're not people who are just trying to keep the law of God and keep it really closely and do the best they can, but they're putting too much stress on the law. That's not what a Pharisee is at all. And Jesus shows that clearly. They are hypocrites. They're two-faced. They're only interested in themselves, their own benefits, and having the praise of men. That's what they really want. And so what we need to ask is that what I'm about? Am I interested really in honoring God, as Jeff talked about this morning, and this really foundational, fundamental aspect of what Christianity is all about, giving thanks to God, honoring him for who he is and what he has done? Or am I really interested in receiving the praise of men? Or am I really interested in what I can gain from what I'm doing? Am I interested in giving myself preeminence over others? All of those things are what it means to be a Pharisee in reality. And I would suggest to you tonight that I see those things happening in the world around us. I see them with some regularity in different realms of society. I see some of them, unfortunately, even within those we would call brethren, who are trying to build up their own kingdoms behind themselves. And in fact, by pulling people to themselves, are shutting people out of the kingdom of God. by giving preeminence to self and to my message, are turning people away from the Christ and the Messiah and the clear message of Scripture. Because they want the honor of men, are changing the message or altering the message or think they are improving the message somehow. All of those things are dangerous and they're pharisaical. What the Pharisees really were hypocrites. They were really good at making themselves look holy on the outside. And Jesus talks about this in a variety of ways in Matthew 23. He says, you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but not the inside. You're like whitewashed tombs. When people first look at you, things look good, but when you get beneath the surface, you're rotten and you're dead. And so the question for us tonight, if we're going to think about whether we're a Pharisee or not, is what am I like on the inside? Am I blinded to my own spiritual failures? That's what's happening here. Did you notice how many times he says they're blind? He just keeps repeating this. Woe to you blind guides in verse 16. Verse 19, you blind men. Verse 17, you blind fools. Verse 26, you blind Pharisees, they're blind. That's the problem. That's a scary thing. So when we're blind, it's hard to know it. I believe that's one of the things about the church that is so beneficial. Is that we have each other. Jesus says you are all brothers. You need to treat each other like brothers, not be giving prominence to certain people. We are all brethren. We're all meant to encourage. We're meant to uplift. We're meant to exhort and sometimes rebuke. To keep each other in check. Because like these Pharisees that Jesus is facing on a regular basis, it's very easy to be blind to where we are spiritually. They thought religion was just doing some big things before the eyes of other people. Somehow they had convinced themselves that they could give and they could pray in the synagogues and they could fast a few times a week and everything was going to be okay with that. But what Jesus says in Matthew 6 is that there is one who sees in the secret place. He knows what we are like. You don't need to do it publicly, he tells them. You go to the privacy of your own home and you can pray in your closet and he sees you and you're going to receive your reward. And those who do all these things publicly, all these things before the eyes of others who are interested just in the praise of men, they're going to receive their reward, is what Jesus says. And so lest we are tempted to do things so other people will tell us how great we are and how holy we are and how righteous we are, we better remember the Pharisees and their blindness to who they were and their stubbornness to listen and to hear the words of the Messiah and their unwillingness to obey, to keep his law. I don't like preaching these kinds of sermons very much. Because what they're meant to do is make us look within ourselves and think about our own feelings. And sometimes we have to do that. That's a hard thing to do. We're meant to uplift, to encourage. Sometimes we need to check ourselves to see if we're really in Christ. And there might be someone tonight that realizes they've been living an awfully pharisaical life, maybe somewhat two-faced. You've been present, you've done what you had to do so that people aren't on your back. You say the right things, you show up at the right places, you don't go to the wrong places. But you just know something's missing. You know there's an emptiness. Maybe there's a selfishness involved to the way you're living. That can be changed. We can commit ourselves again. We can redevote ourselves to God and to his ways. Don't give up hope. That's one of the great things about the Gospels, as I've mentioned to you before. When we read these stories, and we see men like Peter, who vows to Jesus, I'll never deny you. He says, I'm never going to turn from you. I will follow you to death. And then, of course, a few scenes later, he's running away, keeping his distance, denying Jesus before other people. But then Jesus comes back to him after the resurrection and says, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter says he does, and he says, "You feed my sheep." Just because we've made mistakes, just as we've sinned even, doesn't mean we can't come back. And if that's where you are tonight, don't give up. You can come back. You can make it right. And if you aren't a Christian, if you aren't one of God's people, there's a very simple way to take care of that, as he told us in Scripture. We give our life to Jesus. We give up self, and we begin to live for him. We realize that he is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the one that we learn from, that we look to. And in doing that, we go into death with him in the baptism, and we receive his blood for the forgiveness of sins. And if you're in the situation tonight where you have not done that, don't wait another moment. You need to come and take care of that tonight. You need to make it happen right now. Why don't you come as we stand and we sing together.